Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
778 My Take or My Take at thetakeaway.org. The tip of the spear of trust, or at least government information on issues like this, is Tom Skinner, spokesperson for the Centers for Disease Control, who began our program yesterday. He joins us once again. Tom, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
How much trust do you think people have in the CDC as you get ready for another day of, I suspect, pretty hectic evaluating of information coming in from all sides?
Well, I hope they have a lot of trust in what we're saying. It's very important that they be informed. You know, the best antidote for fear really is information. And so we really do want people to be informed about what's going on and know that there really are steps that they can take to protect themselves and others.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot too much here, Tom. I know you're on your way into the office, but can I run down some numbers with you? We've got 152 deaths, all of them in Mexico, and none of them anywhere else. Does that surprise you at all?
You know, this is an evolving situation, and I think the longer this goes on, we're going to learn more about cases in the United States. And thankfully, all the cases in our country have recovered. We haven't had any deaths, but we're still talking about a relatively small number of cases. And so we would expect to see some more cases here, more severe cases, and possibly some deaths. But we still want people to know that, you know, there really are steps that they can take to protect themselves and to take those steps to protect themselves and others and try to limit the impact this has on public health.
Exactly 24 hours ago, we were looking at 20 cases in the United States. It more than doubled. We've got 50 confirmed cases. Would you expect that to double again today, or is this going to settle down?
We should know by, you know, later this morning how many cases we're seeing. We do expect more from possibly some more states, but we'll have more information later this morning.
Do you expect, we've got a cluster in New York at one New York City school, 28 cases. Any sign of clusters, or are these individual incidences as far as you can tell?
They're both. We do have some clusters going on, but they're primarily sporadic cases coming in from various states as our surveillance, our enhanced surveillance, picks up these cases.
All right. Tom Skinner, thanks so much. Spokesperson for the Centers for Disease Control. We will wish you good luck today, and we'll speak with you tomorrow if possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom Skinner, spokesperson for the Centers for Disease Control. Now, from Mexico City, Joan Griot joins us. He's Mexico correspondent for Time magazine and was talking yesterday about how significantly gripped Mexico City was by the pronouncements coming out of the government. A lot of public events were canceled yesterday. What's it look like this morning, Joan?
It's more of the same picture, more and worse. I mean, we've had the schools shut down across Mexico City for 3 or 4 days. Now they shut down the schools in the entire country. So it's every school and university across the whole of Mexico has been given a holiday. And then you were talking about trust. There's still the issue of trust here. People are worried and tense and suspicious, but some also suspicious about their own government and wondering if their government is handling this crisis well or if it's making some wrong moves. There's been some interesting information about the origins of the flu and the way the government handled that. I don't know if you've seen that information.
Let me know. I mean, we do know that it began, or at least the suspicion is that it began at an agricultural center where there was fairly large-scale production of pigs, right?
That's correct. I mean, originally they were talking just a couple of days ago about the first case being a woman on April 12th. Who died of this virus in the southern state of Oaxaca. But then yesterday at a news conference, the health secretary conceded that that wasn't the first case. They actually found as early as February, there was a flu outbreak in the eastern Gulf of Mexico state of Veracruz. And that they finally confirmed from a sample of a four-year-old boy who suffered from influenza in that outbreak near a pig farm, that he had the swine flu virus. Now, the health minister was asked, and again, the issue of trust comes up here. They asked him, why wasn't there more done by the government back then? And his answer was, well, this is a new virus, a new phenomenon in the world, and we really didn't know it was happening.
Wow. Well, that's interesting, and it will definitely affect the way people proceed in following government instructions about closing events and maintaining, limited contact if they expect to contain things. And, of course, the World Health Organization says that we're past the point of containment. Johan Griel, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Dr. Michael Edmonds, an epidemiologist at Virginia Commonwealth University. Let's begin, Doctor, right there. The World Health Organization says we're beyond containment. The Mexican government concedes this has been going on since February. What does that say to you as an epidemiologist?
Well, it sounds as though the outbreak continues to grow. And I think we have to continue to educate the public about what things they may do to protect themselves.
And in the United States, we're talking about trust in Mexico. We're talking about trust in the United States, actually wondering if our listeners can tell us what they think about what the U.S. is doing. How do you rate the responses of the government so far?
Well, I think it's been quite good. I think they've tried to get information out to the public and doing it in a way in which they give information but not create alarm. I think they've done a pretty good job of that.
Now, if this actually began in February, what's the chance that the virus that we're dealing with now is actually a mutated virus from the one that was responsible for the first outbreaks back in February?
Well, that's possible. I think one of the things that we know about influenza is that over time it continues to change. It can change in small ways that we call shift or drift if it's larger in terms of the changes that it makes. And because it's ever-changing, it's always a virus in which we seem to be chasing it.
We seem to be what does that mean exactly?
Well, for example, even from year to year, we're never certain about which strains may be circulating to the greatest degrees in the community. And that's why you'll see in some years the strains that are in the influenza vaccine don't match the strains that are circulating in the community. And in effect, we don't get a good response from the vaccine.
Well, Dr. Richard Besser, who's acting director of the Centers for Disease Control, addressed that point directly at a news conference yesterday afternoon. Take a listen to this.
It's hard to know what the course of an outbreak is going to look like until you're much further into it. Another thing that's important to note is that we're nearing the end of flu season. And often in outbreaks of influenza, you'll see a decline in the number of cases because it's the end of flu season. And we can't rest too comfortably on that because sometimes those come back again in the fall when flu season comes back.
So, Dr. Edmonds, is the season and the weather working against the proliferation of this virus, but that it is likely to remain dormant until next fall?
Well, that's typically what happens. As we move into spring, you start to see fewer cases of the flu. And as you probably know, the flu seasons are opposite in the opposite hemispheres. So this time of the year in the northern hemisphere, we would tend to see flu cases go away.
Now, no one has explained to me why there would be 152 deaths in Mexico and no deaths anywhere else. Is that possible?
Well, it's happened, so yes, it's possible. But why we
well, no, but let me just say, do we really know that? In other words, is this a reporting issue? Is this a reporting error? Are there deaths out there we might not know about, or is it actually conceivable that there would be only deaths in one location?
Well, I think the answer to that is there's probably some truth to both things of what you said. We probably don't know of all the deaths. We probably don't know of all the cases even. But I think there probably is a kernel of truth in the fact that there was a much higher mortality rate in Mexico than that we've seen in the United States to this point. But that could change.
Back in the 70s, we had a swine flu scare, and the government urged people to get vaccines, and it didn't turn out very well. Is there any lesson from the period in the 70s?
I think the lesson about this particular virus, influenza, is that it's always unpredictable.
But does that mean that you should get a shot, that if there is an antiviral therapy, that you should proceed aggressively against that, or should you just hope for the best?
No, I think flu shots are really valuable, and people should avail themselves of them.
And what's the time frame on development of a vaccine? We're sort of at the initial stages now, and the current seasonal flu virus isn't going to help us.
I think that at the earliest, it would be months.
Dr. Michael Edmonds, epidemiologist at Virginia Commonwealth University, thanks for helping us out with that.
Thank you.
So the numbers, just to reconfirm, 152 deaths, all of them in Mexico, 50 confirmed cases of swine flu here in the United States. How much do you trust your government, either about the information they're giving you or the suggestions they have for keeping yourself healthy as swine flu appears to proliferate? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org.